beautiful spring evening. The sun is just setting and silhouetted against the darkening sky. We can see the spire of St. Buster's Cathedral off in the distance and hear those beautiful chimes. Isn't that carillon beautiful?
What do you say?
I say, isn't that carillon beautiful?
The goddamn bells are making so much noise, I can't hear a damn word you're saying.
One of the most distinguished playwrights in America. His work includes such things as Beggar on Horseback, Dulce, The Wisdom Tooth, the adaptation of the Harry Leon Wilson novel, Merton of the Movies. I couldn't name them all. Green Pastures, maybe the most famous one. He's also an actor. I understand he's going to do some summer stock this summer. He also happens to be the assistant to the president of a strange organization known as Orville K. Snav Associates in Mason City, Iowa. We'll hear more about that, too. Welcome, Mr. Mark Connelly.
Was that you?
Oh, thank you very much. But she did Dulce, that's right.
Of course she did Dulce. She did it beautifully, too.
What about this, Mark?
Whatever you want me to do.
Bring it there. The camera is kinder to you right there on the couch.
And I want the camera to be kind. I heard what you said about what the colored television does to you, and I've had some of my idolaters write in to tell me that in colored television, it looks as if I were losing my hair. I've had that.
You know,
it doesn't.
Look at that monitor there. It does have that effect.
Yes, and
Mark.
That, another report, some of the people said it looked as if I were developing a double chin. That, you see the effect that it gives you?
Your hair is just slicked down, that's all.
And if you didn't know me, wouldn't you swear I was wearing glasses?
It looked like that, too, Mark. That's
yeah,
funny, too.
The effect.
It's weird.
However, if it adds to the charm, that's the big thing.
It does that, but it's another dimension, as we say.
You look beautiful.
Oh, thanks. How'd I look in the other room?
I thought you were handsome there, but here you were ravishing here.
It is true.
In the other room, they have you on black and white.
Oh, I thought when you were in the other room, I thought you wanted to know whether you looked better here than you did in person.
On the set.
Mark.
They have two sets in there, black and, you know.
Yeah, they do have a black and white and a color set. And you can compare what's happening there. Mark was recently on a television program devoted to an exploration of the nostalgia of the 20s.
Oh, that Sunday night, yes.
And I did not see it, but I heard about it and the things that you are able to tell about that, in spite of the fact that you were only a very small boy at the time.
I was a kiddie, but I was very bright, very inquisitive.
And moved in great circles.
Oh, attentive. I heard everything. I can still hear those being told not to be frightened by those first jets. My nurse calmed me pretty well.
You have, as a member of that group, the Algonquin, they called it the Round Table, I guess, didn't they?
Yes, we actually sat at a round table, and it seemed to be a kind of an inevitable name for that group.
The clever stroke. But the illustriousness, if I may use the word, of the names that assembled there, your own included, prompts me to ask if these might not be the good old days of some future time when people will say, well, I was on the Parr Show during those first 3 years, and I sat next to Dodie Goodman and that kind of thing.
Well, I'm looking forward to my old age. You'll be still young, of course, but 20 or 30 years from now, when they'll ask me what it was like when the television was still in two dimensions. And I'll be able to tell them, because there'll be the pulses then, too, you know.
The pulses.
They'll actually communicate a kind of a bloodstream from the picture right into the viewing audience, and you'll live it much more intimately.
Do you think they'll ever have television so that the characters come out into the room?
I think it seems like that sometimes on the Parr show.
They come out into the room and wander around, and you have to be careful that you don't step on them and run into them.
That'll kind of put an end to watching in bed, won't it? Everybody will be in their living room for that kind of a show. Let me do this, and we'll return in a moment. This jet spray can of Bon Ami is because one of the most incredible things that I could imagine is that a business organization, it's called Orville K. Snab Associates, has as among its key personnel, and this is only a fraction of the people, the head of Air Shipping Limited in England, Mr. Basil Smales, Cary Grant, Mark Connolly, Dave Garraway. Dodie, are you an assistant to the president?
Well, I don't know what I am, but I received some of the equipment.
Well, you were nominated for chief office girl, I think. I don't know whether you got elected or not.
And I got the literature.
You got the literature.
But I didn't understand it.
You come up, I'll explain the whole thing to you. It's very, very simple. If you speak Chernik. But you should know Chernik before you try to...
Well, this may seem a little obscure, because it is. It requires some explanation, but what it amounts to really is, and see if you agree with this, Mark, I never discussed this phase of it with you, but this is a gigantic social bringer together of people in various walks of life. I got to know this chap in England. He came here to visit once and contacted me because he belonged to the SNAB organization. And we got quite friendly. I never would have met him. There would be no reason for him to seek me out. And when I went over to England, there was a meeting scheduled there with, it sounds like name dropping, but it was, you know, Cary Grant and Basil Smales had this thing all set up where we'd have an overseas meeting of the SNAB Associates. I forget what we called that particular committee. But this man in Mason City, Iowa, manufactures things. And you wouldn't believe what they look like. They're something, don't they, Mark?
Well, they are something. The only thing is, there's no earthly use for them. That's and that's part of their charm. Yes, the BUNAB number 7, for instance, the improved BUNAB number 7.
I have that.
Which completely supplants the BUNAB number 12. They started in the other way. They're gradually working toward BUNAB number 3.5. That'll probably come along in about 5 or 6 years. It comes in a styrene case. It's neatly packed, and it looks like two splines put together with green and red paper, and the instructions that are they're wonderfully informative. They tell you that this can be compared with any of the more expensive instruments serving the same function, but that this has a weather resistance that the others don't have. Now, Charles Lederer out in California at one time complained about his. He said that he had sent his to a sister of his who lived on a mountain, and the BUNAB had refused to work up there. He got a very red-hot letter from a fellow by the name of Al Crowder, I think the name is, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's I guess he's one of the hired men for SNAP. And it ticked Charlie off and pointed out that that particular BUNAB had been tested up to 22,000 feet. And they couldn't understand it, so there must have been something in the handling of it by the owner that really did it. I've had one. Mine works beautifully. Mine rests on a table. And people come into my living room and pick it up and say, "What's this?" And I say, "That is the improved BUNAB number 7. That does away with all of
it." Have you ever had that terrible thing happen to manufacture one of these, anything, any one of these things?
They make them for
that actually does something? I mean,
well, this fills a long-felt void.
I have my position all figured out. I'm going to be the repair woman for the Bunab, since they are so defective.
No, they're not defective. That was all.
Well, you can't infringe on them. You know, they had a great fight out in California. One of the men who wasn't familiar at all with the business practices of the organization, didn't know how many key people there were scattered over the country, he wrote a letter to Orville K. Snab saying he had gone into a tattoo parlor, he had an afternoon off, and he'd gone in to have his knees done. And while he was in there, he met a chap who was also having some odd tattooing done over his shins that had been pretty well neglected. And he explained to this gentleman that he was about, the man that's having his shins done, that he was about to visit his sick parents in India, and that he had to leave for, I think it was for an Indian city called Bamboo. And he was taking a ship from there immediately and happened to have the Western rights to Bunab. And he would like to sell the agency. And this poor chap bought it in a weak moment and then sent some of the Bunabs this man had sold him to the parent office. What he had done had been to put little mica heads on all of them, and he instantly got a check back saying, we've been looking for this man for 10 years. He is a fraud. We have the Octopus Detective Agency working on them. We must ask you, you say you have three warehouses filled with these things, we must ask you to burn the warehouses immediately.
You have no idea of the seriousness with which this is taken. Now, these things are actually sold at 95 cents a piece or $12 a dozen. Now, think that over. This is part of the business policy
that
motivates this. And the thing we like about it is that the Christmas office party starts in mid-October sometimes, or at least the 1st of November.
It's just getting underway now. This year is
starting now, and it'll end sometime around the 4th of July.
Yes. Well, they try to get it cleared up in time for the sheriff's picnic.
How many they sell pretty good, I suppose.
Oh, he and his son, Mr. Snab, and his wife, Minerva Snab, she's in charge of the game division. They have a named game now called Zoodirk, which comes again in a tasteful case with a lot of little counters on it, little dice. The only trouble is you can't figure out what you do with it. They explain that it's based on a very old Celtic game that was played at the time of the Druids, except that in those days they used human skulls. Now they've got it reduced, you see. And then on all the mail you get is a stamp that just says, don't play Zoodirk with strangers.
And I think you can send this to two kinds of people. Those you love and know will get a big blast out of it, and you can initiate them into it. And those that you have no use for, because I've seen a couple of extremely square people nearly driven into a straitjacket trying to figure out what this stuff is, and they'll never figure it out. You just enjoy it.
And you can continue to explain in a way that drives them a little bit more insane, too. That's always a nice thing about it.
It's quite insane. Well,
I still am interested in the fact that somebody who designs these might design one and then be a terrible thing to have happen, that it was actually useful for something.
Well, right now, you know, they're making medicines right now, you know, for diseases that they don't expect to come along for another 50 or 60 years.
Keep ahead of it. As a matter of fact, this happened with one of the Bunabs. I think it was number 5. Is a recording, an LP, a record, just like yours, Jack.
Oh yeah.
And when I got it, I couldn't believe it. But here's the kind of an organization this is. I had to play it all the way through. It said this is the entire soundtrack from the old silent movie, The Eagle. Well, I put it on, and I 5 minutes into it, blank grooves.
That's it.
But I thought, I'm not going to take it off now, because sure as heck, maybe right near the end, there's going to be something. I will have missed it. Made me play it all the way through, and there wasn't anything. It was the soundtrack of a silent movie. But in answer to your question, it certainly had a use, because blank grooves are great for testing certain things in high-fidelity sound, like turntable rumble and everything. So I use it for testing certain pickups and things of that kind.
Mm-hmm. I use it for testing razor blades, too.
Oh,
great. And,
Well, it's a great organization. We have fun.
Well, I wonder if they keep personnel anywhere listening in tonight, because
we couldn't avoid it, really. There are about 400 in this country, and it's a really international organization. There are people in India and in China that's
not on the big board yet, is it?
The big board quakes and trembles with the idea that it has to come on at some time. It's true. Gary Moore is another member, and he has explored it rather thoroughly in his old daytime television program one time. He had a meeting of SNAV right on the air.
Well, he brings this fellow Chowder or Grouder or Gruber, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He brings him on occasionally. And he's got a wonderful thing also. He has a clock for people that don't want to be bothered with certain number of hours of the day. It has a screen. You just put over those hours on the clock.
So they don't show up.
Yeah, don't give them another thought.
And the between shave lotion. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yes, the between shave lotion.
You know, they have shaving lotions now for aftershave, and then they have a before shave thing, but they ain't realized the market.
And they're putting them up in a giant economy size now, a hogshead for 3,000.
A barrel this big, a between shave lotion that you can get. It's terrifying.
It's a 130-year supply.
It's one of the greatest. This spoof on certain cliches of American business that I've ever seen. It's quite delightful. We've had a fellow on the show, I think he's been on twice before, who you may have read the book, Mark or Doty or Jack. His first book was By Rocking Chair Across America, and then he did one on Russia called By Rocking Chair Across Russia, both of which books he had written without ever setting foot in the lands he wrote about. And this is his second appearance, it says here. I feel like it's his third. But we're glad to have him back, because he's a delightful fellow. At this time, let's welcome the author of these books, Mr. Alex Atkinson. Mark Connolly, you may have met Mr. Atkinson.
Hello.
There's something in common with Mr. Connolly. In addition to being an author, I note from the biographical sketch turned in by our researchers that you have done some acting also.
Done a little acting in my time, yes. I might say, Mr. Connolly, that we have something else in common. Am I right in thinking that you're wearing the Savage Club tie?
Yes,
we are brother Savage.
Yes, I am.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is a famous London club. And I can just imagine Mark Connolly. I didn't see him when I was there, but I can just imagine him sitting in one of those famous leather padded armchairs, you know, with the Times over his head, snoring away there, the cigar. Mm-hmm.
Waiting to see whether I won a pound or two on the 3:30.
Exactly, yes, yes.
How can you tell from his necktie that
this is the club tie?
Every club has a different tie, that's all.
Well, now, yours is not a Savage Club tie that you're currently.
What is it, Bunham tie?
That's a Bunham number 3, I think.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I got you a big boonab.
Did you get me a giant boonab? Because we got a lot of little boonabs in the mail. You know what a boonab is? Oh, the new number 7 is great. No, really, the new number 7 boonab has no moving parts. It's wonderful. And a boonab is a wonderful gift for those hard to buy for people. And it's a terrific thing, this boonab. And I'll tell you, to explain what a boonab is actually wouldn't take over a half a day. But it's wonderful, so inquire. This ought to get them going. Inquire about what a boonab is. Go to your favorite store and ask them if they have the boonab. And you'll be very well satisfied. This is the Christmas time of the year and the season. Here's a great song by the Cheerleaders, sung real pretty, called Silver Bell.
Now here's another interesting album in the world of LPs. It's a complete course in ballet for children and adults. You'll find an illustrated book inside with over 30 lessons and 2 individual LPs within the package. It's approved by the International Ballet Guild. So let's hear the first lesson.
Exercise number 11.
See World of LPs again next week, when you'll hear the sound of an actual sports car race, and you'll hear a silent record, believe it or not. But right now, let's hear a word from Jim Conway.
To the big, wide, wonderful world. Of LPs.
Listen to this. No, there's nothing wrong with your television set. The sound is on. This album right here has 45 minutes of absolute silence. It's probably the craziest album in the whole world of LPs. And it says on the cover that it's from the original soundtrack of the silent film, The Fatal Love. Now think about that for a minute. You won't find one sound on this LP. That is, unless you have a dirty needle. Would you play a little more again, please? Huh? May sound a little dull listening to a silent record, don't you think? So I'd like to sing one of my favorite songs while it's playing. Jack?
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. Tell me why should it be true? I get a boo. I get a kick out of you. The beat beat of the tom tom. Well, I get a kick, get a kick, get a kick.
Take the silent record off, please. Thanks. We'll be back in the world of LPs in 40 seconds with Jane Morgan, Johnny Mercer, and Sherry Lewis.
We tracked down the manufacturers of BUNAB to this manufacturing complex known as Snev Towers in Mason City, Iowa. Inside, Al Crowder, assistant to President Orville K. Snev, was busy packing and dispatching BUNABs and other Snev products. More than 40,000 BUNABs have been sold across the United States and the world. During coffee break, we asked Crowder about the famous product.
This is a basic BUNAB, an improved number 7 BUNAB. That is an aid to nitrogen that has been recorded signal cloning throughout all 50 states throughout the world's democracy, plus 39 foreign countries. Now, what is it?
Crowder explained that no moving parts ensures constant stability. Its simple design assures perfect results even in the hands of a child. And a minimum of practice brings results equaling those of a skilled technician. A recent price rise was due to postage increases, which Crowder describes as 5 cents postage and 10 cents storage. Other products include a T-shirt, which reflects a $6.95 savings because it's no longer available. Crowder explained that although Snav and Associates have been in business a long time, they don't make much money.
We recently celebrated our Diamond Jubilee, and for an organization to attain that status in a little over 20 years, I think it's quite an accomplishment. 1978 will not be one of our best years, but we can take comfort in the fact that none of the others were either.
Crowder claims the Snav complex occupies part of a 7-square-mile area of Mason City. A picture in the company's Hall of Science shows their humble beginnings surrounded by worker housing and parking lots. This, they claim, is their warehouse complex. And this, a rare snapshot of founder Orville K. Snav. Jason Davis with cameraman Bill Juntman, Mason City, Iowa.
Commissioner General of the United States Pavilion at the Japan World Exposition, and that's at Osaka.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm looking at his file card right now.
He got his file card out.
Mm-hmm.
That must be a wild industry you people have.
Ambassador Howard L. Chernoff.
C-H-E-R-N-O-F-F.
Uh-huh.
I'll call him tonight.
Hello. Hello, this is Chernoff.
Yes.
President?
Yeah. Ambassador Chernoff.
This is the engine room of the United States Pavilion.
This is Jack Wheeler, JDK Radio in Pittsburgh. I'd like to have your permission to talk with you on the radio.
Sure.
Well, you're an ambassador, aren't you?
I got a letter from Orville K. Snav about you.
He and Dame Minerva Snav called our radio show from Mason City, Iowa last night, tonight, just a few minutes ago.
Right.
Yeah, and I thought, well, what the heck, I better call you. And Dame Snav played the...
Jack?
Pardon me?
Good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to hear you, sir. And are you an ambassador, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
To Japan.
States Ambassador to Expo 70.
Great, great. Hey, could you tell us something about Expo 70? What are we going to have over there?
Well, it's not what are we going to have, it's what we do have. This is our first day of operation.
Oh, you mean it's already in operation?
Hey, what are you guys doing?
I've been talking with Al Crowder at Orville K. Smith and Associates.
Oh, for goodness sake. Get with it. Operation, we opened up on March 15th.
Yeah?
Well, the United States Pavilion here is obviously the outstanding success of the whole expo thus far, and I say that without a successful contradiction. We have an innovative structure here. It's an air-supported structure.
Air-supported?
Right.
You mean it's just floating in the air?
No, it's air-supported. The roof is air-supported.
I'll be darned.
It's the size of a football field, and we keep the roof up with four air compressors.
I'll be darned. That's wild.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
It's never been done in this fashion.
Wait a minute, my producer thinks he may get him, and just for a second or two, I'd love for you to be able to, you know, to say hello to him. Hey, listen, where can I get...
The cell phone call is costing Washington.
I don't care. Mr. McGammon's asleep. He ain't listening, you know. Don't tell him. But, no, it doesn't cost that. Hello, is this Mr. Crowder? Yeah, who's that? Hello.
Arvo K. Snav and Associates, Crowder talking.
Our annual New Year's Eve office party is still going strong, and I don't think our president will let any of the key personnel leave the plant.
Oh, he's got to get a special dispensation for something like what we have going out here.
Well, we saw it on the air the other night. Mr. Carroll's, our session, I had the camera all cocked. I thought maybe I'd get a picture of you, but you didn't show up.
Yeah, you're on.
Didn't he put me on television on CBS?
No, he didn't put you on.
Well, that guy's got to go.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something about him.
Absolutely.
You two guys are wild.
Put my picture on the tube.
We thought that would be one of the highlights of the Expo 70.
Well, doesn't make any difference to me. I'm very big here in Japan right now because we got the moon rock.
Oh, the pictures were beautiful on TV.
That's Madame Minerva P. Snav you're talking to, Howard.
Yeah, good to hear her voice, too.
No, the show was beautiful, and I love your pavilion.
Good, I'm glad you do.
And everything showed up beautifully, all the Apollo things and the baseball uniforms and everything.
Oh, swell. I wish I could see that.
It was beautiful.
I'm asking to see if he can't send us a videotape.
I wish they could.
But anyhow, I could...
Hey, we ought to have a videotape recorder. Or maybe they got a Japanese one over there, Ambassador.
They have them.
I'll have to see if I can't get a hold of that.
It is beautiful.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for talking with us, and I know our radio audience enjoyed it.
The trombone candy bar is mounted in our Hall of Science. I have a picture of that I'm going to send you. You can...
I expect Deborah Jackson here next week.
Oh, I hope so. You can tell Meiji that, is it Meiji?
Yeah.
You can tell Meiji that their trombone is mounted in the Hall of Science at Snav Tower.
Oh, that'll really make me big here in Osaka.
The picture is, but the candy bar is in Albert.
Mr. Ambassador, thank you very much for talking with us. Yes, sir.
Good to talk to you, too. Come on out and see us, all of you.
I'll expect that press kit now.
I'll send it to you. I just made a note of it while I was talking to you.
You're a winner. Now it's getting time to go back to your Osaka tea room, I guess.
I'm going right home and eat.
Good night, sir.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Good night, Mr. Snav.
Well, good night, and thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is March 19th, 1970, Pittsburgh time.
In Osaka, Japan.
We do this quite often. We fight the other night.
Problem. We had Tiny Tim on from... He's not the Chevron.
Last night.
Who is there?
Sekiwa Hayakawa.
Well, he's there too, but we got the ambassador to Japan to the Expo 70.
Yes.
And we chatted with him, you know. And he happens to...
And now I understand. They said it was an hour delay in the ribbon cutting. He was on the air with Jack.
Yeah,
I told you once, I told you, I understand. Don't call that a guy ribbon.
Okay, boss.
This is March 20th, 1970, Pittsburgh time.
Seven Associates, Crowder talking.
What is this, sir? I can't hear for the argument in here. The who?
Orville K. Snav and Associates, Crowder talking.
Orville K. Snav from Mason City, Iowa.
Right.
How are you, sir?
We're pretty tired.
Yes.
But we wanted to get in touch with Mr. Abel.
Why don't you say hello to Mr. Abel?
Yes. Nice to know you, Mr. Snab.
This is Crowder talking.
Oh, Mr. Crowder. Who's Mr. Snab?
Our president retired early today.
Oh, I see.
He's tired.
He's assistant.
He's very much in accord with your program.
Mm-hmm.
It fits in very nicely with our crusade for nicer living. But there was a point of order.
Yes.
We understand that your program covers all four-legged animals.
Yes, that's right. Anything higher than 4 inches or longer than six.
Yeah, he has a pet. And he wanted to know if special dispensation could be made. Because this is a three-legged ferret.
A three-legged parrot?
Parrot.
A parrot. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Well, according to Rule 4, Paragraph 17,